just got to get that mentality that we got to score every time we're on the field. If we do that, then the sky's the limit for us.
Welcome to the Davenport Cleaners Halftime Show on KSCJ. Here's your host, Brian Vakulskas.
I'm joined by the Grammy Award-winning stand-up comedian Lewis Black, who is in Sioux City this weekend. Specifically, he will be at the Orpheum Theater on Saturday night. That's September 21st in tomorrow night, actually, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are still available at orpheumlive.com. You can go check out his Jokes on Us tour down there. Lewis, how are tickets still available for your show? This thing should be sold out three times over.
If you could explain that to me, that would be the most, that analysis, anyone who can explain it to me, I have no clue as to what goes on. I do know this. I know that I'll arrive in Sioux City and that I will walk around and people will say to me, what are you doing here? And I will say, I'm performing here. And they'll say, no one told me. The reason I think that ticket sales are down in part is because social media, for all of the joy it seems to give people and all of the anxiety it seems to give people, the one thing it doesn't give people is really where people will be performing. I think it's kind of undermined advertising. And so now, literally, I'm having to start to do my own ads that I send out on YouTube and on my website. I send out an ad on, so it goes out on YouTube or Facebook, and it gets 5,000 people see it. Well, are those people all in Sioux City? I don't know. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
You use this social media, though, for your performances. I know you use that Facebook Live thing, and you do the Q&A part with the crowd. So that's got to be something that is really new to you. I mean, you've been doing this for decades, but now all of a sudden you're having to use that, or you are using it in your performances. So how's that working?
That's great. But that's you know, we were doing it on our own, and then Facebook comes along and says they'll do stuff, and they've kind of been helpful in some ways and irritating in other ways. And I don't know if the folks out there get this thing, but we can boost your post. Well, who cares? You know, it's my mother's birthday. Seriously? I'm supposed to give you $30 so my mother's 101? And people are going to, what, type in happy birthday to her, and I'm going to sit there and scroll it down for her? Are people, like, it's nuts. But they've been helpful. I feel like I'm screaming about something that is meaningless to most people, except on other levels. So it's been good in terms of the Facebook Live has helped in terms in part. But what's really been good is just being able to do what we do, which is we'll be in Sioux City. Who's ever listening? And if they don't even have to come to the show, they can. They literally can watch at 9 o'clock their time, be about 9. I'll come on. I'll have done my show. I will come back live on stage in front of the audience that's there. The audience that's there will have sent in questions and have been told how to send in questions or comments. And whoever sends in from Iowa or from Sioux City a rant, I will look very closely at it, and chances are very good that I'll read a few, two or three rants from that city. What I've done for the past, especially the past 2 years, is a show after the show that is a live stream that goes throughout the world, and it allows people who've never, had that chance to yell and scream like I have. I've been able to do that for years, and now I'm screaming for you.
Was that always your act when you started stand-up comedy? Was it the screaming, the yelling, or is that something you kind of evolved into? Because, I've been following you for probably 20 years, and I always remember it, but did that really start out that way?
No, it took a long time. It's hard to find the persona, and it's not a persona. I mean, it's what is it that you do personally? What is it about you personally that makes you funny? And since it's kind of close to you, you don't really notice it, and it turns out that mine was anger. And so I was funniest when I was angry, which is weird. And I, And it was kind of counter to watching all of the comics that I kind of enjoyed. I mean, Garland was angry and Lenny Bruce was angry, but in a different way. And I didn't really, and I wasn't really, it wasn't my kind of anger. And so I kind of shied away from it until I realized, boy, that's why people laugh. So I started really doing it.
Do people then expect you to do that in your normal everyday life? They see you at a grocery store or whatever and not appreciate the fact that that's part of a stand-up act?
No, sometimes, some occasionally, they very, very rarely. Most people, I have an audience that really gets it. I've got to say, the audience that has been watching me for years is really really gets what's going on.
You're going around to the different precincts now. You're in Lincoln, then you're going to be in Sioux City. And as you play these different precincts, your politics, it seems like there's no holds barred. You attack Republican, Democrat, every ilk. And so as you see these different audiences, is there any tailoring of it to fit the conservativeness or liberalness of the particular area you're in?
No, I don't care. I've never cared. Both sides are out of their minds. I don't. It's not up for discussion. I've watched this for years now. Okay? Their job is not to tell me how important what their side thinks is. Their job is to sit down with the schmuck that they didn't want to sit down with and talk to them and come up with a compromise. That's the way democracy works. I'm sorry. Take a civics class, okay? Your side doesn't get to win. Your side may get a little bit more than the other side and should get a little bit more in the negotiation. The job has always been exactly the same, and it has changed in my lifetime. And the Democrats basically was, you know, let's try to help as many people as possible. And the Republicans' job was, let's do it as cheaply as possible. And that doesn't exist anymore. Now they're just both, they're crazy. And they can't get it. They just will not do what they have to do. You know, I don't know how the people in your state tolerate, during the summer, allowing these people to wander through their state and ruin their summer. It's your time.
They're everywhere here.
It's time for you to barbecue. I have said there should be and I truly believe this, a constitutional amendment, that nobody running for office or in office, in any political office, should be allowed to speak to the American people, unless it's an emergency, during the summer. That's our time. They get 9 months to talk to us. And the rest of the time, the rest of that summer, zip.
You performed at the White House Correspondents' Dinner several years ago. I think it was during the Obama administration, I remember, about midway through. What did you take away from that experience, hobnobbing with the, they jokingly call it the Oscars?
No, actually,
It was Bush. Bush.
Yeah, it was the Congressional Correspondents' Dinner, and it was during the Bush.
Okay.
And I took away what I took away when I left the city of that area, because I was born and raised around there. And that is these people, really, one of the main things is a lot of them just lack a sense of humor. And the really weird thing was, my problem with Mitch McConnell, there are all sorts of problems with Mitch McConnell, okay? One, that he just doesn't allow votes, okay? People get to vote, Mitch, whether you like it or not. But the fact is that he was sitting to my left as I was doing my act, and every time I turned to him, he was looking at me with a sourpuss face. He never laughed. That's his job, okay? Whether he likes it or not. When you're sitting at that front table, and I wasn't being very political at all, Dick Cheney was laughing. How weird is that?
Strange. But
that's the gig at one of those suppers. I don't care what the supper is. When you're at the front table, somebody tells a joke, you smile. That's minimal.
Do you think they get to the point where they believe their own BS? I mean, they have to know it's BS what they're spouting, right?
I think they have to. One would think, but then one begins to think these people aren't adults. That's what I've learned in my lifetime. I mean, if we've got a problem right now, There are no adults in the room anywhere. Anywhere. And what's really interesting, and I've said it in my act, this is the first time in my life as a comic where after a show, people come up to me and they will say, you talk too much about the president, or they will say, you didn't talk enough about the president. Generally, I talk very, very little about the president. I talk no more now than I did at any time since I started going on the road as a comic. So to listen to these people babble on about that is like, grow up. The president of the United States literally is not interesting to me. What's interesting to me is what the nonsense that comes out of their mouth and how that affects our lives. And that's what people should focus on. God, I wish I was funnier in this interview. I'm much funnier. But it's the middle of the day, and I haven't really gotten revved up yet.
Yeah, this is the middle of the night for a comic, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I know, looking through IMDb, you've got all kinds of...
And I just tried to get reservations on a train on the East Coast, and that took an hour before I got to you, so I'm really irritated.
I can tell. You voiced some stuff for Disney. What was that like working for the Disney company?
Well, it was really Pixar who I worked for. It's Disney Pixar, but I was on the Pixar campus, as they call it.
Yeah.
Emeryville. And I think it's Emeryville. And it was one of the 10 most extraordinary creative experiences of my life. Those people are unbelievable. They managed to get out of Los Angeles. They've created a space in which they can work on something. What was really great about that is you actually watch the creative process. And as someone who's been involved in that, as a writer and a performer and as a comic, to be able to watch that group you're rarely able when you're in something to watch the creative flow occur, and there you were able to see it. It takes 5 years for Pixar, from the beginning of the idea to fruition. 5 years.
And the character actually looked like you, that they created.
Yeah, well, because the first, I guess, 6 months after because they basically said, you want to do that? And by the time they said, do that, I went, yes. And 6 months later, I was in San Francisco, and about 10 of them, 10 of the Pixar folks came out, and of them, maybe 6 or 7 were folks who were animators. And they all did little cartoons for me, little cartoons and stuff. And that was where they started to create my character. And it does kind of look like me.
Then I got to ask about I'm sorry, go ahead. The Back in Black segment. Okay, the Black in Black segments that you do on Comedy Central's Daily Show. You've been doing those for years. I was glad they kept it on after Jon Stewart left. But those are kind of sporadic. But do you pick those topics, or do they tell you what they want and tell you to come in and put it?
Initially, I picked the topics way, way back. And then once Jon took over, then they started picking the topics. And the same thing has existed with Trevor. But I am now, to be honest, I'll be on more now with Trevor than I was on with Jon.
Why?
So I was just on, you can always catch it on either the Comedy Central website or you can go to the Facebook or the YouTube or you can go to my website. My website the next day always will carry what I did. So they always kind of give it to me, and what I do is then they send it to me because they make, because they're putting together a whole show. So they're putting me within the context of the show they're doing, and that's been the way it's been since John's been there. And then they tell me what they do, and they send me the script, and then I contribute what I can. And then every so often I say, why don't we do this?
Yeah,
so, every so often I'll have an idea, and then eventually they'll go, oh, that's good, we'll do that.
Yeah, you were just on there ranting about the children using phones and the Silicon Valley parents not letting them use phones.
Yeah, it was just they're yelling about screens, which is what I was just doing 5 minutes ago.
Exactly. All right, the tour is the Jokes on Us tour. He's Lewis Black, Grammy Award-winning comedian, all kinds of other stuff. He's going to be at the Orpheum Theater this Saturday night, September 21st, 7:30. Tickets are still available at orpheumlive.com. You can check it out there. Hey, one more thing before I let you go. I got to ask about this because I think it's interesting. You were a playwright. You've got your MFA from Yale. Were a playwright. Is there any part of you that ever thinks back to those times and think, God, if I could have written the right plays, or if I could have had my life as a playwright, things would have been, you know, I'd have been happier or happy that way too.
I think I would have been happy that way. I really liked being in the theater. My problem was a lot of the people who ran theaters drove me insane. I've always said that working in some theaters was like working in abusive orphanages. But I really enjoyed writing. I enjoyed watching people work. There was a while when I was on the road, and then with 9 months I'd be on the road, and then during the summers I'd be at a theater in Williamstown, Massachusetts, and I'd act up there, and I'd teach a little stand-up, and I'd work on my writing, and I did have a play that almost made it, and it was kind of like it was optioned for Broadway for 5 years, and eventually, over the past, about 10 years ago, I started, or 12 years ago, I started reworking it with a friend of mine who was a director, and we rewrote it, and now it's published, and it was done in some larger theaters around the country, and now it's being done a lot in community theaters, and I'm really happy. And then my one act, which I wrote really for 20, from the time I was 20 to 40, six of those have been published by another group, and I basically what I do is I sell them when I'm on the road because it's the only way I get people to look at.
Makes sense. All right, he's Lewis Black. Check him out at the Orpheum Saturday night. Lewis, thanks for joining us for a little bit of time here today.
Oh, that was great. You know, I mean, I really enjoyed it, and I really appreciate the time you gave me. So, you know, for those of you, if you see me in Sioux City, it's Sioux City, right?
Sioux City.
Yeah, I keep losing my mind because we came through Sioux Falls yesterday, too. It's like, I think this is the second. I think this is the second time we've been there. But if you see me on the street, realize I'm there because I'm performing there. And for those of you who can, you know, and have something that really irritates you, it can be about anything. Doesn't have to be about something earth-shaking. I've read six rants about pickles. So let it rip, and I'll be more than happy to scream for you.
All right, Lewis Black, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with more high school football right here on KSCJ.